Good morning. Oh, that's quite loud. Good morning, everybody. As Mark said, my name is Brendan. I have the privilege of being one of the pastors here at North Shore Alliance. And if the slide is up, you can see this morning I'm talking about rest. And I hope this holiday season that you are able to experience some rest amidst the busyness. In 2012, my wife Emily and I had the privilege of going on vacation to Iceland with two of our closest friends. We had a fantastic time. Iceland is a very unique country. There's hot stuff bubbling out of the ground everywhere. There's volcanoes, glaciers, icebergs, waterfalls. It's beautiful. And so naturally, one of the things that we wanted to see most was the Icelandic puffin. And so, 3 days into our trip, we went to an island called Hymi off the south coast of Iceland in hopes to see a bunch of puffins, really. So we spent the morning, we were in the harbor town, and then we actually climbed a volcano. It wasn't too high, but it was really cool. And then in the afternoon, we planned to go hike along some ocean cliffs in search of some puffins. And so, to our delight, we ended up finding hundreds, a whole colony, maybe even thousands of puffins. And it was fantastic, just kind of a fun bird. We actually ate one later, very delicious. Yeah, very good. It was in a restaurant, though. We did not catch it. Very good. But I remember distinctly that afternoon, we ended up just kind of sitting on the cliffs, overlooking the oceans, watching the puffins fly through the air. I just remember being completely at rest. I had this, what I call a moment of contentment. Now, a moment of contentment to me is when everything for that moment is all right in your world. You feel at peace in your heart. There's a sense of joy within you. And all the worries in the world just kind of fade away for that moment. And I believe as followers of Christ that he wants to give us these gifts of moment of contentment and that they're a glimpse of the things to come, a glimpse of our eternal hope in Christ Jesus. So I want to do something a little different. I want to take just a moment, turn to those beside you, and share a moment of contentment that you've had this year. So just take a moment and share with those beside you a moment of contentment. All right, everyone, if we can bring it back. Glad to hear the joy and the buzz and that there's many moments of contentment. That's awesome. Now, some definitions of rest, as I'll be talking about up on the screen. Relief or freedom from anything that wearies, troubles, or disturbs. A period of inactivity or solitude, or refreshing ease or inactivity after exertion or work. I found in North Van culture, I've been here for about a year and a half, many people seem too busy to actually slow down and experience many moments of contentment. I've talked to a few people who say when they go on vacation, they need to go for 2 weeks because they need to spend that whole first week to actually rewind, unwind and be able to relax after that. But this morning, more specifically, I want to talk about godly rest. What is godly rest? So I'm going to talk about ceasefire, that rest is life-giving, and that it is our eternal hope. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everyone in this room and that we do experience great moments of contentment. Jesus, we're thankful for your word to us. And God, as we open it and talk about rest and Sabbath this morning, that you would encourage us where we need to be encouraged, and also that you would convict us if there's any place that we need to be convicted. So ultimately, God, I just pray that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to understand this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If we look through the Bible, we'll see a pattern of rest or Sabbath. Sabbath simply means to rest from work throughout both Old and New Testaments. The first place we see it comes right at the beginning in Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3, which says this: "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." Now, it's not as though God needed a rest here, but the work he was doing was finished. And he actually worked this idea of rest into the very fabric of creation. God created a rhythm for humanity to work and to rest. And if you think about it, Adam's first full day on earth was actually spent on God's day of rest. Adam experienced the rest of God on his first day. In Exodus 20, God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment, of course, God calls the Israelites to keep the Sabbath day holy, set apart, not to do any work on the seventh day, as a special sign between God and Israel. This day of rest was for the whole family, for the servants and the animals. A few chapters later, in Exodus 23, more Sabbath commands are given. Give your field a rest every 7 years. God cares about all of his creation. Then God commands Israel to take 3 statutory holidays for festivals to celebrate God. And then a little bit later, in Leviticus, hard to say, 23, even harder to read, Leviticus 23, God commands another festival. And this festival is called the Festival of Tabernacles or Booths. And essentially, God commands the Israelites to go in the wilderness for a week and build makeshift shelters, also known as tents. So essentially, God commands them to go camping. Now, this was to remind them of the time they spent wandering in the wilderness after God miraculously rescued them from Egypt. But to me, the point is quite crystal clear. Next time you plan that week-long camping trip with friends and families, that's a biblical idea, and you should not feel guilty about it, for sure. At this time, we have kids in the audience. I don't know if you saw them on the way in. There's papers out just at the front. The ushers will have them. If you want to draw your favorite camping experience or maybe a moment of contentment, we have crayons in the back and pieces of paper. So feel free to do that. So draw out your favorite camping experience. It'll be great. For the people of Israel, this idea of rest and Sabbath is ingrained in them to this day. And as followers of Jesus, we too know that this idea of rest is an important biblical value. However, in the New Testament, it doesn't call Christians to take one specific day of rest, one specific day of the week. Romans 14, the overall thrust of this passage is about the unity of the church. But verse 5 says this, "One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord." So a strict, particular day of the week is not necessarily required for the Christian, but this biblical idea of having a day of rest is still very relevant and, I believe, crucial in our relationship with Jesus. Its purpose is to recognize that God is the one in control. He's the one who brings rest and stability to the world. God provides for us, and our time is his gift to us. But how many of us practice the spiritual discipline regularly? I know for myself, I've had many great days of rest. I've been very encouraged. I've had some great times. But I find this practice especially hard. It's my time, and I want to use it how I want to. Even though I know it's a biblical value, I find this one hard to live out. Rest is important to life, and our vital organs are even designed with built-in rest periods. The heart rests between each beat, the lungs between each breath, and the stomach rests between each meal, if given time. Probably not the last few days. Stomachs haven't had much rest. The nervous system is recharged during sleep. Contemporary knowledge and science is clear that rest and a good night's sleep is crucial to our overall health. So it's no wonder that those who regularly practice a day of rest are generally happier, healthier, and often live longer. But there's so many reasons and excuses why we don't do this. Maybe it's the season of life that you're in. Maybe you just don't think you don't need to. I don't actually need rest. I talked to a number in our church who do regularly practice a day of Sabbath, and they said finding one day of the week in their schedule was particularly difficult. And they also said if they didn't plan out some of the things they were going to do that day, that it was very difficult to stick to that day of rest. And of course, we're too busy to actually take time and rest. We live in a crazy busy culture. One of my youth leaders told me that people on the North Shore who aren't busy, when their schedule becomes open, they get anxious. They don't know what to do. Maybe we don't believe the benefits of having a day of rest will outweigh the cost of not actually being able to get things done. Or maybe we hate the idea of being alone in silence. Never in any age have we been able to bury our emotions and hurts like today. And the thought of being quiet for even a few minutes could actually be scary. There's so many things we can use to numb ourselves and to not actually deal with anything that's going on in our hearts. And this is why taking a day of rest and Sabbath is so important. So, in this busy culture, let's take a look at Jesus' life to see how he models it for us. Because I think it's pretty safe to say, like us, Jesus was a busy man. Once the word got out of his amazing miracles, his amazing teaching, people couldn't get enough of Jesus, and they crowded him and swarmed him wherever he went. So how did Jesus rest through 3 years of a very busy ministry season? Jesus had a rhythm. Now, I don't have hardly any musical talent, so I had to look up rhythm a little bit. And so rhythm is arguably the most important part of music. It's what drives the music, it's what keeps it going, and it keeps the musicians playing together. I can barely clap my hands and sing at the same time in church. That's how musically talented I am. So Jesus' rhythm was to engage people and then retreat and find a quiet place to pray. I just want to follow this through the book of Luke real quickly. I have four passages here. So Luke 5, verse 16 says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6, 12. One of those days, Jesus went to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. In Luke 9, 28, at the Transfiguration, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and they went up to a mountain to pray. And in Luke 21, verse 27, it says, each day Jesus was teaching at the temple, and each evening he went out and spent a night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. Jesus had this rhythm of work and regular rest. But today, so often, people are out of rhythm. They're out of sync, they're too busy, and therefore are unable to experience the peace of Christ in their lives. Busyness robs our hearts of knowing the God who wants to meet us in quiet and solitude. In the Chinese language, I read, the pictograph for busyness is a combination of two others. The first one is the heart, and the other one is killing. So in being too busy, we kill our hearts. We need to rest, because ultimately, rest is life-giving. In Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 11, Jesus starts to change the way we see Sabbath, and especially for the Jews. So I'm going to take this in two parts. The first part is verses 1 to 5, and I'll read that through. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." So when Jesus brings up this story of David, what Jesus is saying about himself is that he too is the anointed king. They were both the anointed king, but had not yet taken their rightful rule in the kingdom. So, therefore, what Luke is saying through Jesus is that Jesus is the rightful king, and therefore Jesus is the one who makes the rules of the Sabbath, not the religious leaders and the teachers of the law. Mark chapter 2 has this same story, and in Mark, Jesus adds, "Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath." God made us, and therefore he knew that we would need rest. He knows we need to take a break and have sleep. And God also knew that we would be busy. He wasn't shocked when we were busy. He knew we needed rest, and it's his gift to us. But unfortunately, the teachers of the law had made it so legalistic, they'd made up all sorts of rules, like you couldn't pick the wheat or rub it together to get the kernels out. You could not pick up a pebble, but you could pick up your baby. But if your baby was holding a pebble, you couldn't pick up that baby with the pebble because that was breaking the law. They came up with all these rules and they completely missed the point. The second part of this passage drives Jesus' point home, which I think is this. What really matters for the Sabbath is ultimately that God is honored. Verse 6, on another Sabbath, Jesus went into the synagogue and was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, "I ask you, which is lawful to do on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or destroy it?" He looked at them all, and then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss one another what they might do with Jesus. To me, this is a little bit of an odd story, certainly an odd reaction to this amazing miracle. To have a shriveled right hand would essentially mean that he couldn't work or do anything. And so this is just this amazing miracle. The crazy thing is they're so looking to see what if Jesus would do more work on the Sabbath. And Jesus is already teaching in the synagogue, which I guess was allowed to do for a rabbi. But look at the work that Jesus does. He tells this man to stand up. So technically he's doing more work than Jesus. And Jesus simply says, "Stretch out your hand." And as the man stretches out his hand, can you imagine being there, a whole crowd, that his shriveled hand just comes back to life and is fully restored? Can you imagine the awe and the amazingness that would take place? This is an amazing miracle. But look at this reaction. The Pharisees were furious. So many other miracles, people are filled with awe and they praise God, but here there's this kind of hush, and Jesus must have been so disheartened from their response. God gave us Sabbath for our own good. God also created us to be in a relationship with God. I mean, think about this. The God who created the universe wants to hang out with you. But God, I'm too busy. Too busy to hang out, or like, what if something else comes up? I don't want to miss out. Really? We're too busy for God? Technically, isn't the best thing we could do each day is spend time with God? Now, Sabbath isn't just about resting and praying and reading Scripture, which of course is very important, and I think part of it. I think it's good to pray and play. But be creative. Do whatever will reflect your love and appreciation for God. Go for a hike, play sports, eat some delicious food like puffins, spend time with those you love, listen or play music, have a good coffee, read a book, sit by the ocean, take a nap, dance, journal. Some of those with OCD can find cleaning their house actually very refreshing. Maybe help those in need, etc., etc. Taking a regular day of rest can and should teach us to be present and fully aware of God's presence in every moment of our lives. Finally, when we take a day of rest, we're acknowledging that Jesus is on the throne. He's the one who's promised to return and make all things new. Our small periods of rest are pointing to our eternal hope that God will give us new life and glorious new bodies in the age to come. We can rest in the present because we can look ahead to the greater Sabbath, our ultimate and final rest in the presence of God the Father. In Hebrews 4, verse 1, the author tells us that the promise of entering God's rest still stands today because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. The Apostle John received an amazing vision of the future, and he wrote it down to us in the book of Revelation. At the end of the book, in chapters 21 and 22, he wrote down that God the Father will himself dwell with mankind. That God the Father will personally wipe away every tear, every hurt and pain to each and every person. This is the ultimate hope that we hold dear to in Christ Jesus. So every time we take time out of our lives to rest in Christ, this is what we're looking forward to, this amazing eternal hope that God has promised, and it centers our lives around the one who saves our souls. Let us pray. Jesus, we're so thankful for your gift of salvation to us. And God, we're so happy of the rest that you promise us, and that your rest and your presence and your relationship is a complete gift to us. And so God, as we look at a new year, 2016, Jesus, I pray that there will be so many moments of contentment that we will fall more and more in love with you and with those around us. Jesus, may this be a year where we truly find rest in your glorious presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.